burdens and commutations soon, but who's on that list?
Some, like rapper Lil Wayne and former Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, seem fairly likely, while others, like former NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, seem less certain at best.
Fox's Kevin Cork. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Walk-On's Bistro and Bar. Game day with a taste of Louisiana. Cajun cuisine, cocktails, and games on the big screen. Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, located on East Chase Parkway in Montgomery.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a good forecast today. The warming trend continues today. Good bit of sunshine. High temperature up to about 64. Tonight, in the overnight hours, a weak front drifts through the area. An isolated shower is possible in the wee hours of the morning. Overnight low 45. Tomorrow, low 60s. Dry day. More sun. Then showers likely Thursday night into Friday will be in the lower 60s. Saturday, the best rain chances move south to the coast. Should be a drier day and mild. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo here. Some folks might call you customers, but at Capital Tractor, we're privileged to call you friends. You're the reason we go the extra mile in serving you with quality Kubota equipment. From our family to yours, thank you. Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
Ellis Askew with Alabama News Network. According to the Alabama Department of Public Health, more than 148,000 doses of the coronavirus vaccine have been administered across the state. It is now available to an estimated 350,000 people who are 75 years old or older. State health officials say the vaccine is still in limited supply and that some hospitals are still trying to get their workers vaccinated first. Tonight, Montgomery is participating in a nationwide initiative to mourn the lives lost due to COVID-19. Montgomery City Hall, Court Square Fountain, and Riverwalk Stadium will display amber lights in remembrance of the more than 394,000 American lives lost, including 283 Montgomery residents. Tallahassee officials break ground on a new high school today. The groundbreaking ceremony was supposed to be in December, but was postponed due to COVID-19 cases. The school is set to open in September 2022. I'm Ellis Askew for CBS 8 and ABC 32.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Our partnership with Blue Water Broadcasting has reached thousands of listeners in the River Region. People listen. People call. Now, there's mortgage savings for us all.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Laughs, fun, and some priceless financial advice from Montgomery's premier asset preservationist. Weeknights at 6 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
America's kids are returning to class, in school, and at home. And this year, learning is especially tough for kids who already struggle with poverty, emotional trauma, and other barriers. But Communities in Schools is helping by putting caring adults in schools to connect with kids. And now, we're reaching beyond school walls. Tutoring, mentoring, and counseling students, providing resources for at-home learning, doing whatever it takes to make sure all kids have the opportunity to learn and succeed. For more information, visit communitiesinschools.org.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. Newstone 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. 272-9228, that's where we are. Any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Packet Drawing and the Mortgage Corporation South Gift Card Drawing. Do the gift card on Thursday at 105. Gift Basket Friday from 2:30 to 2:45. So give me a call. Talk to me. Don't say, I just want in on the drawing. I don't want to talk to you, Dan. Maybe I want to talk to Joey, but I don't want to talk to you, Dan. That will not get you points in my system here. Let's do this. Major Garrett. He's going to do a look and review of the 4 years of Donald J. Trump.
President Trump's last full day in the White House will take a look back at 4 years of leadership that, as you know, left America deeply divided. So we asked our chief Washington correspondent, Major Garrett, to open his reporter's notebook. There's a lot of good stuff in there to show us what it was like to cover a presidency unlike any other.
I will never, ever let you down.
To meet Donald Trump the first time,
Major, fantastic.
Is to meet him forever. Then, as a long-shot candidate, Mr. Trump recognized me in a room full of reporters.
What do you mean, fairly?
Fairly is an instinct.
If you don't like
Mr. Trump argued with me over who won the first GOP debate.
Excuse me, did I win?
That's for you to decide.
If you don't say yes, then you're not an honest reporter. All right, goodbye.
That was my first inkling candidate Trump,
ever,
soon to be President Trump, was willing to put the bully in bully pulpit.
I think you're very unprofessional.
President Trump loved and hated the news media. He craved our screeching attention.
Mr. President!
And he used it as a foil to whip up support and to fuel animosity he hoped would intimidate us.
When you report fake news, you are the enemy of the people.
That never worked. What did work was the constant generation of drama. Even the kind that shocked and soured the country.
The reason I broke this thing up the way I did is he basically just said Trump criticizing the press did not work. Look at the press approval ratings 5 years ago and look at it now. They're in the toilet. Congress, press, lawyers. Lawyers are higher than Congress and press now. And they're living in a fantasy world if they don't think that what he said and what people think about them. And it's kind of like, oh, no, that didn't work. People love us. No, actually, they don't, Major Garrett. Actually, they don't. So the second part here, Major Garrett, Trump developing in his own image.
To cover Mr. Trump is to be astonished by his energy, his combativeness, and his ability to divide, inspire, market, and deceive all at once. The Trump effect has reshaped the Supreme Court, the tax code, the Middle East, trade relations, and America's image as an immigrant's welcoming home. But overall, the Trump presidency was about one man relentlessly at the center of his own vortex, demanding loyalty, barking orders, pardoning friends, demonizing enemies. Real and imagined.
They hate our country.
Mr. Trump never let anything go, fighting in all directions, even about the weather.
That would have affected a lot of other states.
Few encounters existed without his stage management.
I guarantee I'm not paying for this mic.
Even to CBS cameraman Tony Furlow.
Get back a little, Tony, would you please?
That happened on the west front of the Capitol during a peaceful rally opposing the Iran nuclear deal. More than 4 years later, fanatics inspired by the president stormed that very ground. In the first hour of his presidency, from that same location, Mr. Trump introduced the country to American carnage. Foreign nations gutting our industrial base.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
But the way Major Garrett, and don't drop that clip here, I want to replay the first of it. Major Garrett was kind of like, when he said the carnage thing, he was trying to do it like, well, that wasn't true. And it absolutely was true. We shipped out tons of jobs into other countries where they had cheap labor. Tons of jobs. And the American worker knew that. Major Garrett didn't know that because his job didn't get shipped off. The guy who has the Westinghouse refrigerator company type thing, or Whirlpool, he knows they got shipped to China. Now, I want to go back to the very beginning of this and listen to what he said, how he describes Trump, and is he really describing the media? Listen in.
To cover Mr. Trump is to be astonished by his energy, his combativeness, and his ability to divide, inspire, market, and deceive all at once.
To deceive, inspire, all at once. Sounds like the media to me. Because they can be very inspirational. They can do some very inspirational things, not necessarily in a newscast, but in a show they can. And they can deceive. And don't think that they can't. Let me go to the phones and go to Barbara. Barbara, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show on a Tuesday.
Good afternoon, Dan, Joey.
How are you?
I'm very disturbed and disgusted like Becky is. And I would like somebody to tell me how we beat this situation. Just as you've seen, just this morning, I've heard devastating, awful stuff about our president. And they have the ear of the majority of the people, especially our young people. The media has total control, and if you don't have good common sense, how do you beat this? I'm going to go to Becky's meeting Monday, but I've been to a meeting before years ago on immigration, and it didn't help do anything. You can talk to people, and I'm sure you know this as well as I do. I talk to people, good, honest, upstanding, so-called Christian people that are going to vote Democrat come hell or high water, as my mother used to say. And I just don't see how we beat this. In other words, I'm in a very negative mode.
I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you. Well, first of all, don't give up hope. This is what I have found, which is one of my purposes of this show, is the more people you can educate to what the situation is, the better off we as a country are. And we don't need to overshoot the runway. We don't need to over-dramatize anything. We just need to give people the basic truth. And if they refuse to believe it, those who have ears to hear, using a biblical phrase, can hear. But what we need to do is do more education, bringing people along, instead of just telling them they're wrong.
Okay, how do we do that? How do we educate?
You ask a question, I'm going to give you an answer. You engage in a conversation with them, and you need to make sure you know your stuff.
Well, I have a 20-year-old granddaughter who was raised in church her entire life, and her whole thinking has changed because she's junior in college now, and it's like arguing with a brick wall. Like I said, I have a couple of friends that are dyed-in-the-wool, come whatever, Democrats, and you can't talk to them. I'm not giving up. I know God is in charge, but I also know God was in charge back when, 6 million Jews were killed or whatever. But I'm just grateful for this radio station. I am so grateful for you and Joey. Y'all are so knowledgeable, and I'm so grateful for it. And I have family in other states that I get them to listen to the podcast or the app or whatever. But I'm scared to death they're going to take you away from us.
Ah, well, they'll get a handful of us for sure.
That's for sure. Same here. Can I get in on the Sweet Creek drawing, please, sir?
Give me month and day.
6/9.
You're in.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for all that you do for us.
Thanks, Barbara. Ken, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey there, Dunno.
Ken, how have you been?
I'll say fair, and I won't elaborate. I'll talk to you in a few days. But I think there is a golden lining, a silver lining, in what Jake Tapper said and what you have pointed out, and that is, Dan, 5 years ago, I think my estimate would be 75% of the people would be believing whatever Jake Tapper said on the air. I think far fewer than half now will believe him. And I think you pointed that out, that they're, whatever he wants to say, their confidence rating is down the tubes.
It really is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll tell you where else my confidence rating has gone down the tubes. With our state health department.
Amen.
I have one little sister. She has a bone marrow malignancy that's on treatment. Her husband's retired military. He's a retired 130 driver. He's diabetic now, has atrial fib, has had ablation procedure, I think three times, it may be four.
Man.
They were both waiting for an appointment, one through the oncologist, one through another physician. Fortunately, they have a daughter who's a speech pathologist who's employed at a rehab hospital 50 or more miles from here. She called them and said, y'all need to come on over. We have a surplus, and it looks like by mid-afternoon, most of our a portion of it is going to be wasted. So they drove the 50 miles, and each of them got their first vaccination. Dan, my experience is, I guess, 11 years on the State Committee of Public Health, a year as chairman. But I also served as the medical director for Guard Care in Alabama, which was a new concept that we had, interrupted by some deployments that were necessary instead of to Birmingham and Eufaula and Selma and some other places. Our state health department even then was great on planning, slow on execution.
Yep.
And they've done nothing but get worse with this current pandemic. They plan to death anything that's put before them, while even the ingrained old salts in the military operated at something like twice that speed. So, well, Dee Dee and I are still waiting. We're in well into the age eligibility group. But based on what my little sister and her husband have seen, we're not at all confident.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ken, if I was back in the governor's office, I'll tell you the way we would have handled this. We would have picked up the phone and started talking to major places like Huntsville and say, who is the best logistical person within the Huntsville community that could work on getting this vaccine into people's arms? You've got military people, you have scientists with NASA, you have missile technology folks, you've got people that build rocket ships and shuttles out there. Somebody in there can figure this thing out. Somebody in Alabama has got the keys. They can figure this out. But here's what the problem was. This is what I hated about state government. You get some bureaucratic, pointy-head guy in there who doesn't want to give up any power and wants to be in charge, and they cannot do the job. Get the hell out of the way. And that's my word to the Director of Public Health in Alabama.
Well, I hear you and second you. Loud and clear.
Yeah, there's somebody that knows logistics that's either at Fort Rucker, at Marshall, at Redstone, somewhere. There are some experts that know how to do this thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you're putting out good info, as usual, Dan. I want to wish you a lot of luck, and I look forward to talking to you in a week or so.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Gonna go to a break. Coming back, Dan Moore Show after this.
Morris Show.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon. And we know you have many choices when it comes to mortgages. Who do you call? You could call a credit union, a bank, or a 1-800 number lender. But we believe you should call Alabama Home Mortgage. And here's why. Alabama Home Mortgage is a locally owned mortgage company. We do mortgages. That's all we do, so we do it better.
They say you can't have your cake and eat it too. I disagree. You can have the best mortgage with the best rate with the best service. You do not have to sacrifice one for the other. At Alabama Home Mortgage, rate is important, but it's not everything. We strive to make the purchase and refinance process as painless as possible.
There is no one-size-fits-all mortgage. Others may lead you to believe there is, but at Alabama Home Mortgage, we take the time to listen and customize a plan to achieve your goals.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage, the number one mortgage lender in Alabama, today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. That's Alabama Home Mortgage, because there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Plumbing problems can happen anytime, 24-7. And as we often do, we grab some tools and try to fix it ourselves. That's usually when we find ourselves in the middle of a mess. As a famous actor once said, you have to know your limitations. Jot down this website, clarkcomfort.com. The staff at Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing is ready to show up and bail you out, literally, and get your home back to normal. It doesn't take a lot of water to do extensive damage. Clark is there 24-7 for all your emergency needs. Whether it's a leaky faucet to completing a major installation or replacement job, Clark's licensed professionals are prepared to do it all. Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing understands that everyone has concerns when it comes to COVID-19. All of our technicians take every precaution possible to protect you while they're in your home. So when it comes to your home's plumbing, know your limitations. The next time you need plumbing repairs, you better call Clark. Clark Heating, Air, and Plumbing, ready 24-7 to take care of your emergency needs. Visit clarkcomfort.com. That's clarkcomfort.com. Alabama certification number 99004.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
So Major Garrett is doing this four-year look back at Donald Trump. You heard how he kind of started that. Of course, what is he going to end with? Well, nothing different than January the 6th.
USA!
But a different kind of American carnage visited the Capitol January 6th. And it came not from abroad, but from within. That hideous event, that crime against America, will forever be the first sentence of Mr. Trump's presidential legacy.
Wow, Major Garrett joins us now to follow up on that story. Major, I remember every single one of those stories, and I'm curious about how you're feeling today, because you go from Major Fantastic, as he's sending you out, to... I don't know, I'm not going to say you're on the dead to me list, but I'm going to say you're not going to be invited to lunch anytime soon. So as you're here on this last day, the last full day, how are you going to remember? How do you think he should be remembered?
Look, it's a complicated story, but as I said in that piece, you cannot separate. No one will ever be able to separate whatever the Trump legacy is from that January 6th event. It is going to be and must be the first sentence, the first time an American president told a series of lies over weeks and weeks and fomented an attack by the executive branch on the legislative branch. That has never before happened. We hope it never happens again. And it will never be anything other than the first sentence of the Trump presidential legacy. As I mentioned in that piece, other things have been accomplished. But when you get the Constitution wrong and you put your vice president, your loyal vice president, in real jeopardy, everything else you've done has been tarnished.
Yeah, and now we're moving into Joe Biden. Two very different men, different philosophies on just about everything. How do you think that's going to change your coverage?
Well, look, this new president, President Biden, will probably be like many of the presidents before President Trump that I covered, slightly opaque. One of the parts of the Trump beat that never existed was, I wonder what the president's thinking. For Joe Biden, we may wonder at times, but with Trump, we never did.
I think that Major Garrett was actually referring to his wishful thinking. I mean, he was saying this absolute that the first line is going to be January the 6th. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think it may be one of the important pieces of the puzzle, but that's the way that the media, like Major Garrett, wants Trump to be remembered. Not for the Middle East, not for China, not for what he did for the economy, not for all sorts of things. Every one of them want him to be remembered for January the 6th. And because that kind of capsulizes the concept of the Trump presidency. It takes everything good and wipes it out and puts everything on everything bad. But the way they do the narrative of this is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Kristen Soltis Anderson is a pollster, and she's going to be talking about Biden's leadership in the polls.
As President-elect Biden prepares to take the oath of office tomorrow, a new poll suggests some are skeptical of his ability to lead. Just 49% of Americans are confident that he's going to make the right decisions for the country's future. So how will this shape his first 100 days in the White House? Here to discuss, Fox News contributor and pollster Kristen Soltis Anderson. This just shows with about 50% are confident, 50% are not. What does that tell you about the divide in this country?
It tells us we're extremely divided. Over the last 2 weeks in particular, we've had a lot of political leaders saying, you know, we need to turn the temperature down and come together. But the problem is the thermostat is broken. And while I'd love to think that there's one simple change America could make to bring us all back together, I'm not very confident that that's the case. The other thing that Joe Biden has, that he's going to run into is typically new presidents get a honeymoon period where at least for the first couple of weeks, Americans generally give them the benefit of the doubt. But that honeymoon period has been eroding. Donald Trump didn't get a honeymoon from the American public at all. And I don't think Joe Biden is likely to get much either. I think folks' expectations are coming in pretty low because they sense that America is at a really tough moment.
And the thing is, this is one of those things that because I say it, doesn't mean it's true. When Democrats say things, does not mean it's true. They want you to believe it's true. They're talking about united. Listen to how, on the speech tomorrow, what he does, what he says, and it's not going to be about unifying. He's going to say, I'm here to unify. And then he's going to be talking about very divisive type things. Things that the general American public, or a big chunk of the public, does not buy into. Immigration is one of them. I mean, when you look at the traffic that's on this caravans coming and why they're coming and what these caravan people are saying, they had one guy on tape saying, well, we've got 100 days to get there because that's what Joe Biden said. Another one said Joe Biden made a promise. Well, he said something. I'm not sure what a promise is out of that, but words have consequences. The very thing that they talk about, the irresponsible Donald Trump's words, these are irresponsible words by Joe Biden. And listen, what we'll find are pieces where it's going to be dividing our country, dividing us up. It's really bad news out here. Going to a break, coming back right after this.
Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Get a complete heating and cooling system for just $89 a month from Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Hurry and receive a $5 Starbucks gift card at your estimate. Visit calldixie.com today.
Call Dixie.
license number 15033.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-Ys is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What's up, Montgomery? This your boy, Bama Miles, up here at Rim Time. We've been rocking with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 6 years now. If you're looking to grow your business, hit them up. They'll get you right.
Radio advertising is the only word of mouth you control. It adds credibility, creates emotional response, and attracts new customers. Find out how Blue Water Broadcasting can grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a good forecast today. The warming trend continues today. Good bit of sunshine. High temperature up to about 64. Tonight, in the overnight hours, a weak front drifts through the area. An isolated shower is possible in the wee hours of the morning. Overnight low 45. Tomorrow, low 60s. Dry day. More sun. Then showers likely Thursday night into Friday will be in the lower 60s. Saturday, the best rain chances move south to the coast. Should be a drier day and mild. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Mortgage Corporation of the South, 567-9000. That is the telephone number so you can get great rates on mortgages, home equity loans, construction loans, pre-approval letters for purchasing a home. Mortgage Corporation of the South, my good friend John Williams and the gang there, Ashley, who handled my loan, who won all those awards. Well, they're there ready to serve. VA, FHA, conventional. VA is a snap with them. Give them a call, 567-9000. Anything in interest rates in the threes, have a family member that's in the threes, kind of surprised at how much money she was going to save. Give them a call, 567-9000, NMLS number 232-876, equal housing lender. Okay. So let me go back to this lady on Fox. She's a Fox poster. Very nice, very knowledgeable, very attractive. Doesn't get into the tango dance that a lot of other folks do. Just lays it out here. Confidence in Biden by party. Listen to these numbers.
When you divide it by party, 89% of Democrats are confident, 43% of independents, and only 12% of Republicans. So potentially 88% of Republicans are not confident. What does Joe Biden need to do to reach that party?
I think one thing that Joe Biden is going to need to do is, when he's in office, look for opportunities to work with that narrowly divided Senate on issues that are less partisan, less hot button, things like infrastructure. You know, for the moment, he, in that same poll, actually gets pretty good marks for things like, how has he handled the transition? It's only when people think about him actually governing that those numbers drop. And I think part of that's because they sense that the Democratic Party is going to be relatively divided. It's easier to be the opposition party and to unify. Republicans have a lot of things they're infighting about right now, but when push comes to shove, if Joe Biden pushes forward an agenda that is too far to the left, nothing's going to unify Republicans quicker in opposition.
Absolutely right. The startling number out of that was 43% of independents, 12% of Republicans. Those two together represent an overwhelming majority, and you're under 50%. That's going to be a problem. Folks, I've got to go to my echocardiogram, turning the reins over to Joey. Joey, thank you very much.
Thank
guys.
You.
Be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock with me. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Joey is going to pick it up from here.
Yeah, let's continue on here with Kristen Soltis Anderson. Biden focusing on immigration versus COVID. Let's tune in.
They'll criticize President Trump, but no one can argue he is a worker. You know, he doesn't drink alcohol. He stays up late at night. He watches every show. He's working. He got to work immediately. And now Joe Biden is saying he's going to get to work on immigration on the first day in office. Some are criticizing him, like Senator Cotton, for focusing on this issue instead of the pandemic. What do you say?
Well, this is going to be part of the problem of where, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And while he's been able to stay in the background as president-elect, he's sort of being held less accountable for what is his priority list, and kind of anything can be his priority list at the beginning. But with this pandemic still raging, with thousands of people still dying every day, the pandemic has got to be job number one for him. And I think the first 100 days of his presidency will be judged in large part on how many vaccines get in people's arms. This is the national emergency we're facing, and I think it's going to be the thing people judge him on the most.
Yes, I think the 100 days to do the 100 million vaccinations is part of the benchmark, though you can already see that so many of the naysayers of the Trump administration's approach, as well as naysayers of things like the Great Barrington Declaration, naysayers of Florida Governor DeSantis, of Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, they're already starting to change their tune. Cuomo saying they have to open up. I just have a sense that they will then turn around and continue to blame the baddies of DeSantis and Kristi Noem and at all. It is one thing to hold Biden accountable to particular benchmarks. He set out a quite bold idea of 100 million vaccinations in 100 days. But do not forget, Dan was absolutely right. Major Garrett talking about Trump was really revealing much of his own profession. They deceive, they can inspire, they divide, they punish their enemies, they reward their friends. Well, really, if you learn those things, you've learned what you need to know to be successful in politics. 272-9228. Dan, like you said, had to go to his echocardiogram. He'll be back bright and early tomorrow, if noon can be considered bright and early. Let's go to the phones, 272-9228, and talk to Kairos Rick. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Joey. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I saw this morning an article on the website for Spectator magazine, which is a British magazine that they have a American outlet. And it's about, the headline is "The Terrifying Scourge of Multiracial Whiteness." And it's a satirical piece, but talks about, you know, as soon as the Capitol riots were over, there were headlines like, here's the Associated Press, years of white supremacy threats culminated in Capitol riots. CNN, Capitol insurrection could be a bigger racial reckoning than the George Floyd protests and the New Yorker, the bitter fruits of Trump's white power presidency. But if you look at the pictures of the people who were in those riots, they certainly weren't all white people.
Right.
They were a pretty good group of multiracial people. The Proud Boys, the two leaders of the Proud Boys, one's an Afro-Cuban and one's a Samoan.
Right.
The big organizer of Stop the Steal identifies as black and Arab. And in the exit polls in November, Hillary Clinton's support, Biden improved on Hillary Clinton's support with white voters and fell behind her support with Hispanics and blacks. And so you read those and you go, well, wait a minute. What if white supremacists aren't really white supremacists? What if they're just people with different political beliefs than the Democrats? Well, and he put this up, this author points out, if you think too many of those thoughts, Amazon's going to shut off your website. So anyway, the Washington Post ran a piece the other day about multiracial whiteness. And there was actually a professor from New York University use that term. And in other words, so now whiteness doesn't now refer to skin color. It just refers to your political viewpoint.
Yes. Yes, and there's no attempt to be consistent in this new applied theory world, that there really is no meaning other than the one that you use for activism. So let's push this agenda forward. And there will never, unfortunately, be a reckoning on race and some of the new religious anti-racism. That's almost like the judgment day, the end times, and we won't know when the eschaton is actually here. You know what? That use of now multiracial whiteness, which is just, this is what I mean by no consistency. It reminds me of back during the Democratic primary. Here's another example of where this just goes awry, but it's useful. Is when there was a photo of Pete Buttigieg, who is gay, with his husband, Chasten. And it's a pretty innocuous photo. Buttigieg is waving to a crowd on a stage, and Chasten has his hand on Buttigieg's shoulder, looking at him lovingly. And it was a Yale professor saying, you know, these two guys are so white, they might as well be straight. And it's like, what in the world? And yes, it is a constant political agenda that uses identity without actually respecting any clear definition of identities. And so we'll see how long this lens they use is actually useful and how many people just kind of look at it and go, what are you talking about? But I don't think it's actually meant to speak to most people. I think it's meant to be sort of an inside language to people in the club, so to speak.
Well, you know, you say that, but, you know, when Katie Couric's talking about deprogramming Trump supporters, and it reminds me of a scene in the book, 1984, George Orwell, where the party guy, the bad guy, has Winston, who's kind of a freedom-loving guy, and he's holds up four fingers, and he says, how many fingers? And he says, four. And he says, if the party says it's three, how many?
Right. And they'll use your deepest fear, in Winston's case, rats, to
right.
make you say
That's
three.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, we're going, I think it is a future that is a mix of sort of this game with language. I think that's the best part of 1984 and of George Orwell's work, is the use of language for political ends. But then you also look at a book like Brave New World, Aldous Huxley, and the play on psychological deeper drives of people.
Yes.
They use it constantly, and everybody's got their soma, whatever self-medication, and you got your movies to distract you, your bread and circuses, and I try to keep my eye on the ball in the sense that what I believe before Barack Obama was elected is still pretty much what I believe today. I've changed a little bit, developed a little bit in my understanding, but I generally believe that the ruling class of this country has not served the vast majority of its people very well for decades, and they continue to pit us against one another and continue to steal and rob us blind more than any election.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. They cheated fair and square to win the election.
Yeah, there you go. Well said.
Right. All right, Joey. Good talking to you, man.
Thank you, Congress Rick. 272-9228. Yeah, it's such bizarre stuff. And more than that, most of the time when you see a headline like multiracial whiteness, I don't even engage. It's so bizarre. I mean, the whole point is it wants you to get sort of sucked in and lost in their illogical logic. But 272-9228, 272-9228. Now let's turn to a clip Dan curated here. Katie Pavlich from Fox News talking about Biden's agenda with a 50-50 Senate. How much can actually get done?
Divided government here, divided Senate especially. Yeah. Who knows what a Lisa Murkowski does? Who knows what a Joe Manchin does over time? Here's what you get from a divided Senate in part. Nominees confirmed, special budget reconciliation process, agenda priority in the Senate. What Biden does not get from a divided Senate, elimination of the filibuster, possible bipartisan cooperation, and progressive priorities. I know that's a lot. Where would you begin?
I certainly a divided Senate determines how Joe Biden can start his first 100 days. We've already heard he's going to sign a number of executive orders on the first day. The risk with that, as we saw under the Obama administration and the Trump administration, is that that can get your agenda gummed up in the courts. People often sue over executive orders, which could certainly take some of the attention away from what they're actually trying to do. On Capitol Hill, both parties are very good at spending money. We've heard a lot about COVID relief over the past year. Joe Biden says he has a $1.9 trillion plan plan that he wants to push forward, possibly with those $2,000 checks that even some Republicans like Senator Josh Hawley have been supporting. So when it comes to COVID relief, which is something that Joe Biden campaigned on thoroughly, that may be something that we see Democrats and Republicans coming together on. This immigration issue, though, and this comprehensive immigration push at the beginning of his administration, the timing is interesting. I think it's more of a communication to the base to try and get it on the table for the next 4 years, with this idea that the Biden administration is going to get any success, even from Democrats, at a time when millions of Americans are out of work, when our hospitals are already overrun with health issues, and now they want to bring an immigration bill to the table. They may get something on DACA because Republicans have given DACA in exchange for more border security in terms of the wall, which has been rejected by Democrats in the past. So there is some negotiation there, but in terms of the overall picture of the appetite for a big comprehensive immigration bill at the time when Americans are truly suffering worse than they have in a number of decades, we'll see if that actually goes anywhere.
My guess is it probably doesn't go anywhere, but my other guess is they're going to do as much as they can, as fast as they can. The longer Biden is in there, the longer you see this divided government with the slight edge to the Democratic Party, the more they're going to wear out their welcome. It's the pendulum of American politics. But let's see what Biden's immigration policy might entail.
And on the immigration thing, one of their ideas is to help build up the economies of Central American governments. But that's what this team has been trying to do.
Law and order.
As well.
One of the reasons people flee is because they become desperate and hopeful and hope that they'll have a better life somewhere else. And then, you know, that trip, obviously, it's not easy. It's an arduous one. Yeah. And they will be turned back, most of them. I'm going to throw a little other thing in the water here that I think is going to happen. And I don't know how quickly, but I think there will be a Supreme Court battle. Mm-hmm. I think there will be a retirement, and that Joe Biden will move to try to get that done while they have the majority in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think they've learned the lesson of not waiting until the end. They want to make sure that the liberal justices on the court are replaced by a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate. I think that you will get much more cooperation from Republican senators on those Supreme Court nominees, especially someone like Senator Lindsey Graham, than we had with Democrats in previous, not just Supreme Court nominations from Trump, but also previous presidents in the past as well.
That is a big question with this Republican Party that remains up there in certain seats of power, especially in the Senate. How cooperative will, say, a Mitch McConnell be after being branded as, you know, the second in line demon under Trump's Beelzebub, according to the corporate press and to the left? I wonder how much Mitch McConnell is going to run away from Trump as quickly as possible. The guy was there a long time before Trump, and I have a feeling he'll live more life and retire happily. He has six more years. He was just reelected in Kentucky, so he has six more years after a long career. You just have to wonder, these folks that have been up there for years, what is their appetite for cooperation, and then who are going to be the spoilers? I can think of a few names off the top of my head. You know, of course, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, who are receiving a lot of incoming right now, but the usual fiscal hawks, the likes of Rand Paul, Mike Lee. We'll see. We'll see, but the Biden administration has to make a decision. Are they going to go for the practical things that actually improve the lives of everyday Americans? Or are they going to continue to push the political agenda and go for more some symbolic approaches that they know they can't accomplish, but that will drive their base out in 2022? And that's always the unfortunate thing about politics. There's always another election right around the corner, so we can't actually get anything done. 272-9228. But he does have that pen in the phone that Obama used, that Trump used. And now it's Biden's pen and phone. We'll see what executive orders are coming down as well. Final segment of the Dan Moore Show when we come back. 272-9228 if you want to get in on the program.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Businesses across the river region know where to dispose of their commercial waste. Just look for the bright red containers of Alabama Dumpster Service. They're there when you need them and just as quickly picked up by our fleet of trucks. Now in our 20th year, Alabama Dumpster Service is known for customer service. Plus, our wide variety of dumpster sizes and competitive pricing mean dependable, affordable waste removal. Call us today at 334-288-1500 for availability and schedules, or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
At Guardian Credit Union, we're creating connections in new ways because connections have a way of inspiring hope, strengthening ourselves and our communities, and creating stronger financial futures. Connections happen within Guardian Credit Union, but more importantly, in how we all treat our neighbors and how we all support our communities. So join us, connect with us, and we'll show you this is where you belong. Guardian Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1. Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Moore Show. Closing moments here as Dan's on his way to the doctor. 272-9228 if you want to get your shots in before we close up shop and Greg Budell and Happy Hour takes over. Let's now turn to Britt Hume talking about Biden and the incoming Biden administration.
We know this. Ron Klain sent out a memo on Saturday afternoon. We know there'll be a flurry of executive orders. That seems to be the habit between new presidents these days, going back to President Obama and into President Trump. Beyond that, we're looking at a 50-50 Senate. What is the challenge for Joe Biden and Democrats if they really want to pass some of these sweeping programs they've talked about? And conversely, what's the challenge on behalf of Republicans? Stop it.
Well, the Democrats with a 50-50 Senate will need 60 votes to pass most legislation. The 60-vote threshold does not apply to court appointments and certain other things, but you need 50 plus one to pass most legislation. And the only way they can change that is to, you need 60 to pass most legislation. And the only way to change that would be to eliminate the filibuster. Joe Manchin, for one, on the Democratic side, has said he would not vote to do that. So if that's the case, the filibuster will stand, and any very dramatic, sweeping legislation introduced by President Biden and the Democrats on the Hill would face the prospect of being blocked by filibuster. The executive orders you mentioned, of course, can go forward simply on the president's signature. But they only go so far. So that's the situation. That's the challenge that Democrats face, is either winning over Republicans or blowing up the filibuster. Neither will be easy.
One area that I'm quite personally worried about with Republicans joining in is any expansion of domestic surveillance techniques, is any expansion of so-called methods to deal with domestic terrorism. I think there may be some appetite with, say, some longtime senators up there in the Republican Party to cooperate on that. And I don't know how many of you are comfortable out there, you know, hanging your hat on Joe Manchin. Now, I feel fairly confident in saying that Manchin is not on board with expanding the Supreme Court, as many, you know, Democrats who want to do that, as many in the media want to do that. I don't think Manchin, even though he's under a lot of pressure, will budge there. I don't think Manchin will be on board at all for expanding, say, statehood to Puerto Rico or the District of Columbia. And honestly, if I was Puerto Rico, I don't know if I'd want statehood, given the mess right now when you are a state in this union. But Britt Hume will continue here. Let's listen in.
Britt, there's a huge pent-up demand by Democrats, and obviously there's a split between moderate Democrats and the progressive left. What in your experience, would you pay attention to going forward? Like, do they try to tackle some of the things like we're reading about, possibly a big immigration push, possibly canceling of the XL pipeline? They have ideas in terms of, obviously, they have a challenge with the vaccine and distribution of that. What are you going to be paying attention to?
Well, I want to see just how sweeping are the measures that they try to start off with. Because it seems to me that it would be smart in this very narrow environment, in which narrow majority environment, which the Democrats now have in both houses, that they would want to get started with things that they might be able to pass, even with some Republican support. I'm not sure right off the top of my head what exactly such things would be. But, you know, the president has made some pretty strong promises. He said he wants to unite the country. That will not be easy in these bitterly divided times. He has said that he wants 100 million vaccine doses done by his first 100 days. That's doable, I think, but not necessarily easily. And, of course, if on top of that, in his inaugural address and elsewhere, he makes a bunch of other sweeping promises about big things he's going to do, the risk he runs is that he will fail to get them, and he'll be measured against that standard. But the thing, Dan, I can't help remarking on this. You notice what's different about today from about every other day for so long?
Yes.
We're not talking about Donald Trump. The agenda and the news landscape has now shifted. And we're seeing it 2 days ahead of the inauguration. What we're talking about today is all about Joe Biden, the Biden administration, what they can do, what they can't do.
It's a fantastic point Brett Hume made. And I have a feeling, especially those who are all hopped up on their what has Donald Trump done wrong today, as Dan so often says, very much it's outrage can be just as addictive. Disdain, contempt, resentment can be just as addictive as any sort of positive feeling. I have a feeling myself that there are going to be a lot of folks who miss it. You're actually already seeing some folks on Twitter who have built their entire account and persona on Twitter around responding to Donald Trump and ripping him. So I have a sense there's going to be quite a hangover for a lot of folks. And I'm wondering and I'm hoping that there will be a hangover for the National Press Corps, for your CNNs, your cable news networks, but in particular for news in general. The newspaper industry was having trouble before. A lot of the big networks were having trouble before Trump. And if anything, he gave them a big infusion. Now, what will be the big bad? Who will be stirred up? Some focus will be on Biden, but actually, I imagine that the National Press Corps will continue to be considered the big bad, according to many conservatives, because, you know, I know these folks. And I've been amazed, and God love you folks, and I genuinely mean this, and this is how I feel. I don't personally hate Joe Biden, by any means. I actually think his candidacy, and now soon to be his presidency, was a creature of this larger press, this larger press corps. It's a reality they built up around him. So it'll be interesting to see how they keep this going. But you're already starting to see that this will not fuel people's desire in the same way their disdain for Trump fueled them. So we'll see. I'll be back bright and early at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on News and Views. Dan will be back at noon tomorrow. Y'all stay tuned. It'll be Inauguration Day for President-elect Biden. And stay